My guest at this time is Andrew C. McCarthy. He is a former federal prosecutor, and he's also a contributing editor at National Review. He has written a number of columns this past few days in reaction to the charges against former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. And one of the big takeaways is that Mr. McCarthy believes that this is now essentially more of an impeachment investigation rather than a collusion investigation or anything else into Russian meddling in the 2016 elections. And Andy, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Greg.
What leads you to that conclusion? I know you've written about it, but you say, I think some of the bigger points is that the fact that none of these lower figures have been charged with anything related to the campaign, and in the case of Michael Flynn, simply lying as part of the investigation, not that that should be overlooked, but nobody's pleading guilty to a bigger thing that would lend credibility to that the president might be involved in a bigger thing. So explain how that shows you what Mueller's up to here.
Well, I think if they had a collusion case, Greg, and when we're talking about collusion, you know, collusion is a kind of a loaded word. All it means is concerted activity. What prosecutors care about is conspiracy, not collusion. And conspiracy is an agreement to violate a particular federal law. In this case, the law that they're talking about most likely has been some form of espionage by the Russians targeting the 2016 election. So the theory has always been, you know, underneath the collusion, they don't want to say this out loud because it just sounds too absurd given the dearth of evidence about it. Was there Trump complicity in the espionage by the Russian regime targeting the 2016 election? I never thought they had a case on that, and I haven't seen anything to suggest it. And what we've seen with the now three sets of charges that have come out is quite the opposite. They've had, charges against Manafort and an associate, Rick Gates, that have nothing to do with the 2016 election. And these two guys, Flynn and George Papadopoulos, who are pled out to process crimes, lying to the FBI, charges not having anything to do with supposed collusion in the Russian effort against the 2016 election. I think Papadopoulos's plea is the most interesting and, to me, the most telling in that regard, because with it, Mueller files a 14-page statement of facts explaining the offense, and collusion pours off every page of it. You have him meeting with people who say they are agents of the Russian government. He meets with someone who represents herself apparently falsely to be Putin's niece. They're talking about setting up meetings with the Russian regime, possibly setting up meetings between Putin and Trump themselves. And yet after all of that, he pleads guilty to one count of lying to the FBI about when his first meeting with a Russian official was. So the case against him, even though it's immersed in collusion, doesn't have anything to do with collusion in the 2016 election. So that's the sort of thing that has led me to believe that there's not really any collusion case here.
A couple follow-ups on that. First of all, do you believe that that's kind of how Mueller was approaching this from the beginning, or was it the direction he headed once he saw what the actual facts were here?
Well, I think, you know, you have to remember that at the beginning of the investigation, it was carried as a, and it still is for all I know, as a counterintelligence investigation, not a criminal investigation. So Mueller's mandate, and it's a very, very broad mandate, it really doesn't have any enforceable limits on it. Mueller's mandate is to gather information, which is what a counterintelligence investigation is. It's really an information gathering exercise about Russian nefarious activities threatening our institutions connected to the election, and to prosecute any crimes that he finds incidentally along the way. So I think that's he's gone about his investigation as a kind of a broad fishing expedition within those very broad parameters. And I don't think, you know, if they had a crime that was the predicate for this investigation, it would have been conducted a different way. But he wasn't directed to investigate a crime. He was given this very broad mandate.
I've seen in a number of the cable news debates, folks making the point you made about there being a lack of serious evidence about any conspiracy or collusion. And some of the more left-leaning legal analysts have said, well, we've already got the meeting that Paul Manafort and Donald Trump Jr. had in June of 2016 with the folks who purported to be connected to the Russian government and had dirt on Hillary Clinton. And just because they didn't have any, it showed that the Trump campaign was willing to have that sort of relationship and assume that that was what that meeting was about. So that's evidence of what this investigation is supposedly after. What's the reaction to that?
It's not a crime to do icky stuff. There's a lot of things that go on in elections and in campaigns in the nature of information gathering, opposition research, taking unflattering information about the adversary from dubious sources. That is all stuff that politically we should find abhorrent or at least unsavory. But that doesn't mean it's a violation of law. To get to a prosecutor, look what happened here. The usual thing in the United States is there's a crime, so we assign a prosecutor. Here, there's no crime. We assign a prosecutor and we tell them to go find a crime. And, to try to fill that void, what they've talked about is collusion. But again, what a prosecutor is interested in is not collusion. A prosecutor is interested in conspiracy. And that means you have to have an agreement to violate a law. And there's no law against taking information from the Russians about your political opponents. Is it something you should do? No. Is it something that we should endorse? No. But the narrow question for Mueller as a prosecutor is not whether it's unsavory behavior, it's whether it's criminal behavior.
Andy, another issue that's popped into the headlines in the past couple of days is that one of President Trump's attorneys has said the president cannot obstruct justice, because a lot of people think with the president's tweet about what he may or may not have known at the time that Flynn allegedly lied to the FBI and so forth, that the president then asking Comey to back off, allegedly, constituted obstruction of justice. His lawyer saying the president cannot obstruct justice since he is the head of the executive branch and has authority over the Justice Department and so forth. So to a lot of folks, especially on the left, that sounded like Richard Nixon saying if the president does it, it's not illegal. So right. What should we understand on that front?
Well, look, if they were really seriously saying the president can't obstruct justice, that's absurd. So I have to think these guys are not dumb guys. So what I took them to be saying is that the president carrying out his legitimate constitutional functions, which include exercising prosecutorial discretion and weighing in on who should be who can be or who should be investigated, which is an executive function, and terminating or dismissing subordinate executive branch officials like the FBI director, that those things are not obstruction of justice, because the president, they are duties, powers of the president under Article 2 of the Constitution, and they are his legitimate functions. So I took what they're saying, and remember, they're defense lawyers who were trying to spin things the best way they can for their client, that a president carrying out his legitimate functions can't be obstructing justice. And I imagine the comeback from that on the other side is, well, if he does it with a corrupt intent, that can be obstruction of justice. And I think they have the better part. The people who would point that out have the better part of the argument. But I think a president can't be indicted in the judicial system for obstruction, which is what we're mainly talking about. The constitutional check on a president who commits acts like that is to be impeached by the Congress, not to be indicted in the criminal courts. We could have a long academic debate over whether, in theory, a president can be indicted by his own executive branch. To me, that's an impractical debate to have, because ultimately, practically speaking, the president holds all of the trump cards, as it were, against being indicted. He can pardon himself and everybody else, which stops the investigation in its tracks. He can order the investigation to be dropped. He can fire the prosecutor. He can do all sorts of things to prevent him from ever being indicted. But that's not the end of the matter. If he's done things that are a violation of the public trust, the House of Representatives can find that those are high crimes and misdemeanors. And if the Senate thinks upon that finding by the House that it's a serious enough matter to remove the president over, they can do that. But they have to convince 67 senators out of 100 that should be done.
Last question for you, Andy. The legal and political significance of Bob Mueller having to dismiss a member of his prosecutorial team for making anti-Trump statements.
I think, to me, Greg, based on what we know at the moment, it's got more significance for how you evaluate what happened in the Hillary Clinton investigation than in Mueller's investigation, because the guy was removed from Mueller's investigation. And as I would point out to people, that you know, they say that he's an anti-Trump guy who's in the tank for Hillary Clinton. And I'm not in any position to say whether that's true or it's not true. But I do know that in the reporting that came out right after Flynn was interrogated by the FBI or interviewed by the FBI on January 24th, and we've seen this again in recent 2 days ago, I think, in an editorial from the Wall Street Journal, the agents who interviewed Flynn believed that Flynn was credible. And Comey, who was then the FBI director, testified to the House Intelligence Committee that the agents in the room with Flynn, who were able to observe his demeanor as he answered the questions and made a judgment about his credibility, thought he was being truthful. Well, one of those agents was struck. So it seems that he found in Flynn's favor, and that was later countermanded by somebody in Mueller's very aggressive prosecutorial team. So I need to see a lot more about Strzok before I, jump to the conclusion that he let his political opinions, we all have them, that he let those interfere with the way he enforced the law. But I think there are a lot of very questionable judgment calls that were made in the Hillary Clinton case.
Many more developments to come, potentially, both politically and legally. Andy, as always, great to have you with us. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Andrew C. McCarthy, former federal prosecutor, contributing editor at National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.